morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, live streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we are at facebook.com/radiocafe. Day three of the $100,000 KSFR Fund Drive. We are bouncing along and very grateful for your support, and hope to have just enough more of your support that we can go back to our regular programming very, very soon. The number to call is 428-1393, 428-1393, and I would be oh so grateful if you would show your support for the Santa Fe Radio Cafe specifically and for KSFR and public radio in general. I'd like now to welcome Elena Zachary. She is an actor and independent producer, and she is doing a kind of a workshop for students, teenagers up to age 20 years old. It's called Telling My Story. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Elena.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. It's a pleasure to share the table with you this morning.
It's great to have you back on the show, and I've seen your acting. You were a wonderful addition to Santa Fe. And I am wondering how this workshop came into being, how you decided to do a workshop for teenagers.
You know, we live in mystical, magical Santa Fe, and things come to us. There was a call for grant writing by the Rotary Foundation for the Arts in the Paso Tiempo many, many, many weeks ago. The ad would not leave me alone. It literally seized me until an idea was born in my brain called Telling My Story. So under the aegis of Warehouse 21, that magnificent organization for youth, Telling My Story is a free workshop. We all have stories of our lives, and this is specifically focused on the opportunity for these young people, age 13 to 20, to create a performance of an event or a memory in their young lives. We don't have any set vision of how the story can be told. It can be a monologue, it be acted out. It can be more like story theater where the body is employed. And I will mentor these young people on the process. And in addition to them having an opportunity to perform it live at the conclusion of the 7-week performance, Lisa Carmen, who will be joining us, who's a magnificent and brilliant and generous singer-songwriter, is going to create original music as emotional backdrop to the final performance for each of these students.
And so these students, perhaps who have never done any performing before, will have the chance to not only perform, but to go maybe deep inside or go outside and find something of interest in their own lives.
Yes, and it's not meant to be pithy necessarily or psychological, but rather an amusing creative experience.
These, are you going for comedy?
I'm going to go for whatever the youth want. They are so media savvy. They're comfortable with an audience. They're comfortable with a microphone. We're going to have a video diary as well to document their experience. So the first weeks we'll be sourcing some of those moments in our lives that stick, either because they're funny or embarrassing or perhaps even sad. And we'll focus on one, and through the weeks I will help them craft that into a performance.
So, are you looking specifically for kids? I mean, we know we have the El Dorado Children's Theater and things like this, and there are young people who have a lot of experience in theater.
Yes, and you know, this is not necessarily limited to theater people. I was a very introverted, hard to believe, shy.
It is hard to believe.
A little depressive young girl, and I found my solace in giving birth to my imagination through poetry, through dreaming, through story writing. And there are lots of young me's out there who also have stories to tell. So my imagination tells me there isn't really such an opportunity, again, it's tuition free for these students, to give birth and share with us an event from their lives. And that's what's going to be unique about Telling My Story.
It's called Telling My Story, and we're being joined by Lisa Carmen, who is a singer-songwriter who's also part of this special performance workshop for teenagers up to 20 years old. Welcome.
Welcome, thank you.
So I have gotten a report from the control room that the phones are quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further, We are asking you to make a call right now to make a donation to KSFR. 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. To take a moment to contemplate the things that have been important in your own life, and if public radio is one of them, if getting connected to the community is one of them, if theater and songwriting, the things that we're talking about today, have been important in your life, please consider making a donation. In fact, don't consider it, do it. Make a donation by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. Lisa, tell us about your life. How did you get involved in all the creative work that you do?
Probably from a child, I dreamed about it, you know, as a little kid. Oh, this is what I want to do. I would love to do that, but can I? In fact, I have a song I'm going to release soon called Dreamer, and it's about dreaming about these things as you grow up. You know, all of a sudden, we had a great music department in the school system I grew up in upstate New York, and from then on, I was getting trained in music. But it took a while. I was a bit of a late bloomer. And in my 20s, I just decided I was going to start writing music and expressing my voice or telling my story, as one would say in Italian.
You know, Lisa, I had this passion all of my life. And I grew up a bespeckled, kind of rounded young lady in Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Bespeckled?
Bespeckled.
What were you speckled with?
Glasses. And I didn't know how was I going to give birth to my yearning to perform. My bedroom was my stage, but I remember there was a hugely popular television show called The Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes, Annette Funicello.
And others, absolutely. These were icons of my prepubescent years. And it was a team of youngsters who were wildly talented. I'd come home from school and I'd watch them sing and dance and Jimmy Dodd, and every day had a different song. Today is Tuesday, you know what that means. We're gonna have a special guest. So lo and behold, we read that the Mickey Mouse Club is coming to Cleveland, Ohio to sign up to join the Mickey Mouse Club. My friend Steve Adams and I, his mother drove us downtown to the May Company. My terror, Mary Sharp, was how was I going to tell my parents that I was going to have to leave Shaker Heights and move to California? I didn't realize they were just signing us up to get a subscription to the Mickey Mouse Club magazine.
Oh.
And all I got for my trouble was the magazine and a set of ears. And I didn't get to be on the show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was your big break.
No, that was my big dream. I gave myself that break about 30 years later when I, in a one-person show off Broadway, I made myself a Mouseketeer.
We're talking to Elena Zachary and Lisa Carman. So how did you, Elena, what was your first big performance, your first big crowd pleaser or...
That's a great question. Well, we were always doing backyard theater, and even in school, the teachers let us do this. I remember creating with tag board a costume for myself, enacting Peter Pan. It was difficult to get leverage. I wanted to fly so badly. But my first elementary school play was called The First Cat on Mars. And I don't remember more about it than I borrowed Steve Adams' father's lieutenant's hat. And I think I was 7. That was my first theatrical. But I can tell you my first embarrassing theatrical moment, which came a few years later.
We all have those,
uh-oh.
Yeah.
And Lisa and I have many together and unique.
Yes.
In high school, and I was still a bespectacled, young, rounded woman.
Isn't it bespectacled?
Yeah, that too. I also have, what? Little freckles. So
freckles.
I guess I could be, I'm bespectacled
and
bespectacled.
And
often making a spectacle of myself through my years. I'm in a high school production of The Crucible, Arthur Miller's The Crucible. And I am playing African-American Tituba. All right, get the picture? Because there were no African-Americans in my high school in Shaker Heights at that point. So along with it, the only other thing you have to know is I was bespectacled. And it was pre-contact lens days. And because this was, I think, the early 60s or late 50s, the mode was cat's eye glasses, all right, which I dutifully removed before I went on stage.
Uh-oh.
Now, I've painted my body, you know, in this, in a makeup that would darken my skin, and I wore a rag on my head. In this particular scene, she's doing somewhat of a ritualistic rocking back and forth, and I think the lines were something like, I give she chicken blood, I give she chicken blood. I suddenly realized I can see everybody in the audience, and I knew something was wrong. I had gone out with my little cat's eye glasses. And I was wearing them as I was rocking back and forth, saying, "I give she chicken blood." It was so embarrassing.
What'd you do?
Well, in an appropriate moment when I was not speaking, I turned up stage and I took them off so I could no longer witness my embarrassment.
We're talking to Alina Zachary. So when you left Cleveland, did you leave Cleveland?
Well, I did. I went off to college. I got a very fine theater education in Boston University. And that's really where my professional career began. Phenomenal opportunities. I was in an improvisational company before even graduation with such luminaries as the illustrious Jane Curtin and Fred Grandy, who went on to become Fred Gopher Grandy and later head of, Goodwill Industries. And it was a marvelous training, similar to Second City, similar to the Groundlings, an improvisational company where we had to create on the spot songs, operas, musicals, sketches based upon things in the news, literary achievements. It was a comprehensive 5-day-a-week training for weekend performances, and that was my first professional opportunity.
We're talking to Alina Zachary. Ladies and gentlemen, I forgot to say at the beginning, we have a goal this hour of $1,500. That's what we did yesterday and the day before. We did even better the day before. So we are over 10% of the way there. We've gotten some callers. Keep the phones ringing. Let us meet our $1,500 goal, 428-1393. You can also pledge on the web, ksfr.org. You can also pledge anonymously by calling and saying, "Don't read my name on the air." You can do whatever you want, but above all, give whatever you can. There are people who've been giving $15 a month, and that works very well, or 20, or I don't know what the minimum is, maybe 10. But it works very well because then you don't have to think about it anymore. You make your donation, and it keeps on coming. It's a handleable amount. Whatever that handleable amount is for you, you can make that donation, and it will just simply be automatically deducted every month. And so it's a wonderful way to go. 428-1393. We also have an Adopt-A-Watt program, and you can make your donation to adopt a KSFR transmitter watt. And the names that people have been giving these watts are hilarious, like What's Up Pussycat, I think, was one of them, and things like that.
Mine was What's Next.
Yeah, yours was What's Next.
That's right.
Alina generously donated yesterday, and people have been wonderful during this fun drive. So give a call right now. Become part of the KSFR extended family, 428-1393, 428-1393.
And by contributing, we get to have the KSFR story continue to be told. We are our stories. In fact, we are each other's stories. So 428-1393, it's a number to hold near and dear, and use it now.
Lisa, have you spent much time in the kind of mentor role with young people?
Actually, that's pretty much my big focus. But what's interesting about Santa Fe, I've done it everywhere I've lived, from upstate New York to Carolina to Montana to here, is 2/3 of the people that are coming to find their voice and tell their story right now are adults.
Isn't that interesting?
It's been happening over the last year. It's fascinating to me. They're studying lyricism. They're trying to study how to put a music and song together and then perform their own work.
What's going on with adults? They didn't get that outlet as kids?
I don't know. I mean, didn't we all have those dreams of telling our stories?
Yes, we do.
Some of us are still telling them, and then we also, some people maybe just never did because they didn't have the confidence or they didn't feel like it was something they could be guided to do. So it's pretty fascinating. I take them out to perform as well. And so Alina and I are really discussing what can we do for adults as well after she gets this first one launched completely.
We've had adult response to telling my story. There's been a little bit of coverage here and there. We will certainly run an adult version. But the one that we're talking about today is a free workshop for students in the community ages 13 through 20.
And thanks to the Santa Fe Rotary Foundation.
What a generous organization. And when we received the grant last Thursday, I was stunned to find myself in quite august company. Lisa Lincoln's Eldorado Children's Theater among them, Partners in Education, incredibly beautiful ongoing opportunities for people. And this is the first time that telling my story is granted to give its to tell its story for these students. We're going to start. We've got a little bit of wiggle room about this Mary Charlotte. We've got Tuesdays and Wednesdays available for this 7-week workshop.
So it starts on Tuesday, the 21st of September.
Right.
That's next week.
It is, exactly. And when they go on the Warehouse 21 website, they have the option of clicking on Tuesday or Wednesday. Because we've got both of those available, we're going to see how does it fall. Because it's going to be a process. This is the first time we're putting the story, Telling My Story workshop out there. The participants will teach us a lot about how it will work.
You can go, by the way, to warehouse21.org, the digits 21, warehouse21.org. So, Elena, tell us more about your Broadway career. Do you sing and dance and act all? I mean, are you the so-called triple threat?
Well, in the Broadway parlance, they used to call me a move-weller, which meant, yes, I act, yes, I sing, and yes, I move well. Yes, I have been known to tap dance and dance on stage. But in Santa Fe, I've been only acting. But I do have some pretty funny Broadway musical stories because that was the bulk of my career, was musical comedies, as they say, in New York City. Among them, I'm that old to have been in the original company of Grease the original,
really?
On Broadway with all of those people. Yes, I know John Travolta and Barry Bostwick and Mary Lou Henner and Eileen Kristen and all of the phenomenal talents that have come from that original company. And some of my favorite stories are from those years. Let me share one quick one. As a kid, I dreamed, of course, of being on Broadway. Many, many of us do. Not ever thinking I would get there. That day came, and I was, in fact, stepping into a role. My first Broadway opportunity was going to be the role of Frenchie in the musical Grease. And she, to her, is sung Beauty School Dropout. Like a teen angel sings this to her. So I'm going to be stepping into that role. And my first performance is going to be on a matinee on a Saturday. So there it is, Friday night, and I've been learning my lines and studying my role. And the person I was going to be partnering with played Sonny, an Italian, abrasive character who had nothing good to say about anybody and was often remonstrated by the English teacher. So there I was working with this actor whose name I shall not mention at this point for a good reason. And I'm looking into the wings and I'm watching the dust motes fly through the air and I'm thinking, Elena, tomorrow you will be on that stage. This will be the primary experience of your lifetime. And I turned to this actor and I said, I'm so excited about tomorrow. And I was hoping and looking for those words of wisdom, you know, you're going to go out there and nobody come back a star. And he said to me, tomorrow when you're out there with me, just don't bleep me up. And those were my first words of wisdom before I set foot on a Broadway stage.
There we have it. Ladies and gentlemen, the phones are not ringing, so let's step up, 428-1393, 428-1393. We have been doing these one-day fund drives, and I'm sorry to interrupt our programming, but that, you know, that's what we have to do because we have to stay on the air. The way we stay on the air is with listener support, and so we have done these wonderful one-day fund drives. Everybody gets on the air. All our listeners go bananas and say thank you for participating. Thank you for doing KSFR. We want to participate. Now we have to raise $100,000. We are in our $100,000 fund drive. I think we're somewhere between a quarter and a third of the way there. We want to get it done as quickly as possible. So we are asking you to give a call. If you are a regular Radio Cafe listener, and Lord knows a lot of people come up to me and say, I am a regular Radio Cafe listener. I listen every day. Well, if that's the case, please give a call and give as much or as little as you would like as you can afford. Somebody called recently who had just gotten a job after having been unemployed for a while, gave a small donation. That's what it's all about. There are people who can make large donations. Hey, if you can make a $1,000 donation, then we will be almost done with our goal for the hour. Go for it, whatever level you can do. We are all in this together, 428-1393.
And isn't it the spirit of generosity that really informs this town, Mary Charlotte?
Indeed.
We hear it every day in the Guest on Your program. We see it in all of these wonderful opportunities, organizations, donations that are out there to support the creative, the magnificent lives of all of us. It's imperative that we support this treasure.
Whatever we can do, even something small. If everybody did something small, it would all add up to exactly where you want to be.
1393.
Hey, you got that number.
428-1393, 428-1393, 428-1393, 428-1393. Well, I heard Dan and Bill talking about you cannot say the number enough times this morning.
Indeed.
Or sing it, as the case may be.
Yeah, we've had people singing the number before. When the esteemed Richard Block was on our board and doing this all the time, we would say it in multiple languages. 428-1393. What was the highlight, or what were some of the highlights of your theater life, Elena Zachary?
Wow, that wasn't what I was prepared for. My second Broadway show was a show called Nine. It was based upon Fellini's film Eight and a Half, directed by Tommy Tune, with music by Maury Yeston, who went on to do Titanic. The script was by Arthur Coppett, who was the wunderkind in the early 60s of absurdist theater. So during the process of auditioning, and it was to be a conventional show in that there were men and women, during the interview process, Tommy and Maury and Arthur decided that the female talent was so outstanding, they threw out the book. And they cast all women, and they said to us, when you got winnowed down to the last, say, before the final cut, you must come to us. You must write a story about your relationship with Guido Contini. The story revolved around this film director having a crisis. So that we each had to write about our characters. And elements of that were not only used scripted later by Arthur Coppett, but our costumes then were based upon our own envisionings of our characters. If all of that wasn't exciting enough, it was the toast of Broadway in the early 80s. 1982 swept the Tonys. And why was it exciting? Because we got to meet people like Elizabeth Taylor and Katharine Hepburn and Alan Alda. Every night there were phenomenal luminaries to come and see this really groundbreaking musical. It broke conventions in a lot of ways and was so glamorous. We were celebrated with parties at Studio 54, photo sessions with Life magazine. You would come to your dressing room, and it would literally be piled with gifts for you. It was glamorous. I don't think that time exists anymore because of financials, but this show employed four full-time beaders.
What's a beater?
Women employed to replace the beads that you would lose on your costume every night.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a phenomenal experience those years. So I played with Raul Julia and Sergio Franchi and Bert Convy.
Now, when you have this kind of glamorous life, this kind of luminaries and gifts and all of that, is it hard to stay grounded?
Oh, that's such a great question. And that's exactly what I did. I never took it for granted that it would endure past the next paycheck. I saw my colleagues buying houses full of furniture. Shows always close. But I remember getting a vacation, which is rare on Broadway. A show has to run 6 months to get one. I went to Jamaica, and there was a marvelous expression I learned in Jamaica, and it goes to something like this. Ain't no bitchin' in paradise. And I came back from my vacation, and I wrote that on the bulletin board at the 46th Street Theater. Because after a while, we forget what privileged lives we led. But it was Broadway, and it was very glamorous, and it was never to be taken for granted, because everything closes eventually.
Yes, indeed. That is the cycle of life itself. Ladies and gentlemen, the phones are still not ringing very much, so give us a call, 428-1393. We need you to call before we can go on and basically continue with our programming, before we can go on even with this show. We need at least three phone calls in the next couple of minutes. 428-1393, 428-1393. You may be tired of hearing about the fun drive, but you know, the reason you're still hearing about it is because you have not yet participated in it. It's just as simple as that. Do we have a report from the control room?
We do indeed. We do have some thank yous.
Yay.
Reese Peterson.
Thank you, Reese.
And she named her what? What's the matter, you? And Jamie and Stacy Painter, and Jamie named their what Stacy after his partner. And Michael Soloway.
Thank you.
Christy Hanks loves Radio Cafe, and Christina Boyce from Des Moines.
Wonderful. Thanks to all of you. And one of those people who just called, I met their daughter on the airplane the other day when I was coming home.
Awesome.
Who said, my dad listens to your show. Anyway, thank you all very much. Let's keep the phones ringing, 428-1393. Make a contribution to KSFR, 428-1393. Now, all of this, I mean, there's story after story that you can tell about these years. What was it like artistically? I mean, you do the same show for 6 months. Sometimes you do it for much longer.
3 years or more. The challenge, of course, and the obligation is to keep it fresh. Anybody who has a run, first of all, we are always so privileged to perform. I happened to meet Frank Lesser, who, among other things, wrote Guys and Dolls. And I met him the last year of his life, and he told me something, and I remember running up to the bathroom and writing it down, and it's been one of the hallmarks of my life. He said, talent is a gift to be given away. And it really informs a lot of what I do, especially in Santa Fe, wanting to create this workshop to give young people a chance to tell their stories. We created the two-person, and it really is a free two-person play series at Collected Works, which is an ongoing series. I think you have an obligation when you recognize that you've been given certain privileges and skills and yearnings to give it back. And that's a privilege to do that, and that's part of what makes this place of Santa Fe such an amazing, amazing place. And I want to bring Lisa in on this, because Lisa Carmen and I have been colleagues for decades now.
Is that right?
We first met
in
a production of Gypsy. And I had come from an only Broadway professional career to moving to a small town upstate New York, and we were in a community production.
Yep.
She was the most generous performer I had ever worked with. I was playing Mama Rose.
I had my first role as the vaudeville stripper that could play the bugle. Well, she did that.
And she does, and did upside down.
I could, yeah.
But she was so generous in her willingness to help me through these ridiculous costume changes and just be so kind and calm and focused. I'd only ever known a professional background. We struck up a friendship that has given birth to projects, two-person shows, among other things, the Telling My Story workshop.
And coming back to the Telling My Story workshop, this is something that is happening starting next week, and we really want to encourage the young people who are listening and the parents of the young people who think that they might want to tell their kids about this. This is a workshop that runs 7 weeks starting next week, and you get to tell, first of all, to develop your story.
Exactly.
And finding out what that is really a process, because it's not something, I mean, if you're, let's say you're listening to it right now and thinking, gee, what's my story? It might not be that one. It might be another one that comes out. How do you bring that out of the young person?
And it might be an uncomfortable or unpleasant memory.
Yep.
And it might be something evoked by a prop, a toy, a letter. So that's what we're going to look at in the first very few weeks.
A journal.
Absolutely.
That's how the songwriters that I work with, the young people, they bring their journals in, and then we start to edit and look at what they're trying to say and feel.
So what we're going to first do is have conversations with the young people. And let's give some technical information. It's an after-school workshop, obviously, 4:30 to 6:30 at Warehouse 21 in the Black Box Theater, which is where the final performance will be. So the process will be so much fun because it will also be videotaped. So the students will have the opportunity to give feedback to this off-screen presence to talk about their process. And at the end of the 7 weeks, there will be a live, free public performance, and they'll receive copies of the DVD. And Lisa will be creating, as we said earlier, original music to create the emotional backdrop to their performance.
What a wonderful noise here in the Santa Fe Big Community. A bus tray rolling down the ramp. Elena Zachary is an actress. She's an actor. You say actor now. You don't say actress anymore.
We do say actor. That's exactly right.
And an independent producer. And she and Lisa Carmen, singer and songwriter and actor, are both collaborating for this special workshop called Telling My Story. It's a performance workshop for teenagers, anybody up to the age of 20, at Warehouse 21. For more information, you can simply go to warehouse21.org. And I want to give you both the chance to make a call out to our listeners one more time before we go. We are not quite to anywhere near our goal of $1,500. Oh, no. Why not? Because the phones have not been ringing, but not enough.
And what is that phone number?
428-1393, in fact.
Was that 428-1393?
I believe indeed that it was. final call out, Lisa and Elena.
Final call out.
To your listeners. To your fans.
Fans.
There you go. Lisa, you've got a huge fan base.
Well, I think so. Yes, I guess I must. You know, it's like, this is what we're supporting. We're supporting telling stories, this beautiful radio show, and how they all work together. Mm-hmm. So please do call in.
The radio station.
Absolutely.
The town. The workshop Telling My Story celebrates the uniqueness of each of us. That's why we're here.
It's speaking from your heart and telling your personal feelings, which is expressive, collectively better for all of us.
And look at this. Since this workshop is free, why not take what you might spend on that workshop and call 428-1393 and donate it to KSFR?
Absolutely.
So we can live to tell our stories another day.
Excellent thinking. We are going to let you go. We're going to take a little break right now. While we take this break, please give us a call, 428-1393. And Joe Illick is with us from the Santa Fe Concert Association. He will be here in just a moment. And we're going to also be giving away some fabulous prizes to donors for some of the upcoming Santa Fe Concert Association events. So give a call right now. Please stay tuned to KSFR. We'll be right back. And speaking of the Santa Fe Concert Association, I am delighted to welcome back to the program Joe Illick. He is the executive and artistic director of this wonderful organization. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. Good morning, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing really well.
You are about to open your 74th season.
Yes. Well, it's not my 74th season, but the organization started in 1937.
1937, and you took it over in...
This is my second season.
This is your second year, so it was just last year that you were here. Wow, it seems like a long time that you've been
Well,
you've been
we've done a lot.
You've done so much.
We came back here last May of 2009, and the season of 9-10 was the first one that I put together. So this is my second season, and I'm very proud of it. As you know, we're opening with the great pianist Lang Lang performing at the opera this Monday evening at 6.
Yes, and we are giving away tickets to people who make a donation of, they will tell you. I can't remember the amount, but if you make a donation of a certain amount to KSFR right now, just in this half an hour, you will get a pair of tickets to the Lang Lang performance at the Santa Fe Opera on Monday night.
This 6 p.m.
Monday night at 6 o'clock in the evening. And if you make a donation of a somewhat smaller amount, you will receive a CD, which is a wonderful CD. We're actually going to hear some music from it in just a few minutes. The number to call to get those fabulous prizes is 428-1393, 428-1393. Now tell us about this young Chinese pianist.
A little over 10 years ago, Ravinia had a famous pianist scheduled, and at the last moment, this pianist was obliged to cancel. I don't know the exact circumstances, but I do know, and this has become legend in the classical music world, that the conductor said, well, I just heard this 17-year-old Chinese pianist who's fabulous. Why don't we see if he can come in tonight and take over? And Lang Lang did come in and take over. So he did more than take over. He got a 20-minute standing ovation, and this career of one of the world's greatest pianists was launched in this dramatic way.
And
he's 28.
28
he's
years
a kid,
old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that's fascinating about this is he played in the opening of the Olympics. He's played for every dignitary on the planet.
Yeah.
and 40 million young Chinese children are now taking up the piano.
Yes.
That's a lot of pianos.
That's a lot of pianos.
There's a lot of children.
I haven't been to China, but I understand that every music store in China has a poster of Lang Lang in the window. You can only wish that people, you know, all over the world would be inspired by the example of somebody like that. Because he comes from an ordinary family and his parents have been very supportive of him. But, you know, the amount of work and discipline involved has been incredible, but the payoff is also incredible.
We're going to hear just a little bit of one of the Beethoven piano sonatas, just a movement from, or part of a movement from
one of the sonatas played by Lang Lang. But what is it? And we'll hear in a second, and people can judge for themselves, but how would you describe what it is about his playing that is so compelling?
He's technically able to achieve anything. He is musically a very deep thinker. He's a poetic player. He plays with beautiful sound. He plays as if the piano was more than a piano. And he has that X quality of charisma and magnetism with an audience.
And ladies and gentlemen, you can hear that yourself. I am so excited. I'm so excited that he's going to be here, because a friend of mine who is not even particularly musically oriented, who doesn't listen to music or talk about music, heard him in New York City and went out of her mind and said to me, you've got to get this guy on the air. You've got to get him to listen to his music and so on. We didn't get him on the air, but we do have a chance to listen to his music.
Well, through the history of music, there have been a few artists, I guess Franz Liszt comes to mind and Niccolo Paganini on the violin, who were able to reach across all the barriers of what kind of music they were playing and involve everybody. And Lang Lang is that kind of artist.
Why don't we hear just a little piece of music from Lang Lang right now? And while it's playing, you can both listen and call 428-1393, make a donation, come to this concert, or get a copy of the CD. Let's hear it right now. Thank you. Lang Lang playing Beethoven, and the concert that is being played on Monday, which some of you made donations, thank you so much, for 428-1393. You can actually get a pair of tickets to this concert that's happening on Monday, presented by the Santa Fe Concert Association. We have its director, Joe Illick, sitting here with us. And will he be playing, Beethoven? No.
No, the repertoire on the CD is completely different from the repertoire that he's playing on Monday night. Monday night, he'll play Bach Partita in B-flat. He'll play Schubert's final sonata, the big sonata in B-flat major. And he will play all 12 Chopin etudes in Opus 25.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, yeah, there aren't a whole lot of people that could do that.
Yeah, in a row.
Well, yeah.
So when you play Bach, I mean, the piano hadn't been invented yet when Bach was writing his. So what is it? How do people interpret? How does Lang Lang interpret Baroque music for the piano?
I think that if Bach had access to a Steinway D, he would have been very happy. The pianos that were available in that time were so primitive that a harpsichord seemed like a much more sophisticated instrument. But Bach was less about tonal quality than he was about the movement of all the inner voices and the polyphony and the counterpoint. I think that Lang Lang plays Bach with great... He has respect for the inner workings of the harmony and of the music, but he also is able to voice using a modern piano so that you can actually feel the different timbres, the different sound qualities of the different inner voices. So it's a wonderful way to listen to Bach, because although you're not hearing an oboe and a violin, you're hearing the piano using such different sound qualities. This is one of Lang Lang's gifts. He can really pull all kinds of different sounds out of the piano, as you heard in that Beethoven Opus 2, number 3.
Indeed. Now, let's talk for a moment, because we only have about 9 minutes left before the end of the show today, and we want to continue.
Shall I run you through the other 27 concerts that
we're
doing on our season?
Well, we can't run through the other 27 concerts, but one of the things that's exciting to me is that we're going to hear really quite a bit from you. I mean, there's some wonderful concerts coming up, but we also get to hear your notes on music about Schumann. We get to hear a reading of your opera, Blitz.
That's true. I'm going to be doing 3 events at the United Church on Arroyo Chamiso, and 2 of them are 200th birthday celebrations. It's Schumann's 200th birthday this year, and so I'll be playing a lot of his music and talking about the man and his madness, his fortuitous madness, because I don't think he would have been such a great composer if he hadn't been having private visions all the time that he was able to turn into great music. And in early 2011, I'll give a similar talk about Liszt, Franz Liszt. It'll be his 200th birthday in February 2011. Liszt, of course, took piano virtuosity to new heights in the 19th century and set a standard that we still have today. And then the third one that I'm doing is an opera that I've composed, an opera about science and God, or I should say, where spirit and science can intersect and where they cannot intersect. And of course, you know, all the human emotions that come into play when those things happen. So that's in January.
Now, it says here on the program, it says a reading of the opera. What does that mean? Does a reading mean a singing?
It means I have singers doing all the parts, but I don't have an orchestra. I'll be playing the orchestra part on the piano sitting there.
Oh, okay.
And also it means at the end, if we want to just stop and the audience wants to talk and comment and tell the singers, tell me what worked, what didn't work, what they enjoy, what they think could be changed.
Right.
That's
right.
All very fascinating. I think when you see a wonderful opera at the Santa Fe Opera, you know, the only thing that's missing is that Mozart can't come out on stage afterwards and answer questions about why he had Figaro do what he did.
But, unless it's the one living composer, like Louis Spratlin.
Yeah, that's wonderful when that happens.
And so here we are. We get to hear you.
So here
you
we are.
Do you take feedback when people at the end, they say, well...
Absolutely.
You know, and you use that to revise?
Sometimes I even sit down right there at the piano and say, oh, do you mean something like this? Because people love to see that the creative process is really just like cleaning your house. I mean, it's not mysterious. It's just different.
You are an extraordinary person. You are the executive director and the artistic director. You're a composer, you're a conductor, you're a family person. You do the work of about seven people.
Well, I have a lot of great people with me. The Concert Association is in a good place right now. We're actually running in the black, and we're very proud of that. And so we're trying to create things for the community. On October 6th, we're able to present the brass quintet, Spanish brass from Valencia, as a free concert at the cathedral. And I'm really excited about that group. They're tremendous musicians, and you know, not everybody knows what a great brass quintet can do, but
right.
This will be a chance to find out. And then early January, we're going to be able to present three free performances of the opera Hansel and Gretel, a reduced version, but you know, a very wonderful family event for the right after holiday seasons.
Right. Bring the kids who already know the story.
Well, yeah, and all the kids know the story.
Exactly. Now, the number is 428-1393. When we were playing the music just a few minutes ago, a lot of people called all at once, and probably some of them didn't get through. So if you called then and didn't get through, just call back, 428-1393. It's a wonderful opportunity.
And we'll still be happy to give away the CDs and the pairs of tickets.
Indeed. And really an event not to be missed. I'm so glad you're doing it at the opera.
Yes, we are too, because already we've sold more tickets than anywhere else would hold. And the tickets are going. So.
Excellent. Excellent. 428-1393. We seem to have gotten, we have a $1,500 goal this hour. I think we've broken 1,000. We've only got a few minutes left. So let's break that $1,500 mark by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. Now, you have the Russian National Ballet.
Yes, they've come for quite a number of years. Santa Fe has a high number of kids that are in very high-powered ballet and dance programs. And so it's important that we bring through groups so that these famous story ballets, Sleeping Beauty, Swan Lake, Romeo and Juliet, can be seen. And the Russian ballet companies, of course, have had these in their repertoire for a long time. Next season, our 75th season, we really would like to also move into presenting some of the great American ballet companies here in Santa Fe, like Miami City Ballet, Pacific Northwest Ballet. That has been financially prohibitive up until now, but we think we're going to be able to do it for our special 75th season.
And so those get presented at the Lenzig.
Yes.
Which is a great
space
for seeing ballet.
Well, the Lenzig is a great space for a lot of things, and certainly for ballet, it is the spot.
Yeah.
So we're very excited that we can present things at the Lenzig.
So, Joe Illick, could you make a little call out to your many fans and followers why they should contribute to KSFR right now?
I would just like to say to everyone that KSFR provides this fantastic service all the time, and that it's a win-win situation. You can support this great station, and you can hear Lang Lang either on CD or live at the Santa Fe Opera this Monday night at 6.
428-1393, 428-1393. Joe Illick is the artistic and executive director of the Santa Fe Concert Association, which is almost 75 years old. So presumably, very few people remember the first year because it's been around for so long.
I haven't had anybody come up to me at a concert and say, I went to that first concert in 1937.
Right.
But there are certainly a lot of people in Santa Fe who have supported the Concert Association for many, many years, even if they didn't hear Fyodor Shalyapin when he performed here 65 years ago.
Wow. So we can't even begin to give a history. That's something we should do sometime, is a history of this. But in any case, what's most important is the present and this incredible season coming up. And if people want to find out more about it, they can go to your website, which is
SantaFeConcerts.org.
SantaFeConcerts.org.
And or just Google Santa Fe Concert Association.
Exactly. And the number over there is 984-8759. Joe Illick, thank you so much for being with
Thanks
us.
Thanks so much, Mary Charlotte.
And you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. We have to go in just a moment, but 428-1393 is the number. And you can make a donation to keep this show and to keep every show on public radio on the air. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. My podcast site is called santafe radiocafe.org, and I'm also at facebook.com/radiocafe. We've got a bunch of thank yous. You want to say them really
Bravo,
fast?
Bravo, Mary Charlotte. Thanks to Ellen Miller, Carol H., Jeff, who wants a dance from you, Mary Charlotte.
Charlotte,
Gloria, Mary, and there are others. We'll have to afterwards. We might have made this challenge. It's not quite sure, but boy, the phones have been ringing in the last 10 minutes or so off the wall.
And
so.
Thanks to the wonderful Joe Illick, and keep on calling 428-1393. Thanks so much. Adios.
Ciao.